Set your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast.
Hey, Mark. Mark, we need to start this over. Hold on.
Well, we played that Jurassic Park theme song for you, Joe.
Sorry.
As you rudely interrupted your own intro there.
I just changed the setting on my mic, so I don't know if I screwed something up.
No, no worries.
Okay, how does this sound? Is it too high?
No, you're just perfect. And we're bringing this sound check directly to you, our listeners. So not only are we literally just going by the seat of our pants here, why don't I just move this microphone of mine here just to kind of... Yeah, there we go. This is the Tiny Shutter Podcast, where we talk about iPhone photography and jinx our audio settings immensely. Thank you, Matt, for mentioning that Skype thing earlier.
No problem.
Anyway, I play that Jurassic Park theme song because that is our official incoming baby congratulatory music since we started that with Matt. And Joe, your wife gave birth to a beautiful, what's the word I'm looking for? Good
baby
adjective
girl.
Here. Baby, oh, definitely baby girl, yes. Baby girl, but wow. When you gave the stats, I was impressed by the megapixel count. Yeah. So why don't you go ahead and tell the world of your new bundle of joy?
Well, yesterday, October 24th at 10:24 in the morning, worked out pretty good. My wife gave birth to a little girl.
Zena.
She was 10 pounds, 6 ounces, 22 inches long. And this was the second time this has happened to us. We were told it was going to be a boy.
And really?
Yeah. And so we had a girl. First time happened last time with Franklin. We were like, oh, yeah, you're having a girl. Next thing you know, oh, look, it's a boy.
Well, they're just correcting for the last time.
Yeah, that's what my father-in-law said. Well, everything in the balance of the universe is set corrected. Now that you have your girl.
Doctor, for the last time, that's the goddamn umbilical cord.
That's right. Oh, it was so funny. All we could do was laugh. It was.
Picturing the moment, an episode of The Family Guy, where they have a flashback moment, and Peter was talking about one of his biggest disappointments, and it cuts to the delivery room, and says, "Congratulations, it's a girl." It pans over to Peter, who's holding baseball bats, footballs, everything. He's like, "Oh, all right."
Yeah.
So once again, Joe is this happened to Joe. So anyway, welcome to the Tiny Shutter again. We're going to be talking more so about iPhone photography and all that jazz. And but we did want to say congratulations to Joe because he hit that milestone. And
thank you.
So everybody, send your congratulatory emails to our website. Just leave them in the comments section. Go ahead and bother Joe on his Instagram profile. He'll tell you what it is in just a minute. Or go to our Facebook page and or Twitter page and just throw your comments in there and let them fly. And anyway, I am Mark Sadowski.
I am Matt Hoffman.
And I'm Joseph Ferreira.
And I'm guest star.
Joining us this week is Maud Byrne. He was part of the Lenswipe Photography podcast until we shot it in the head and buried it in the backyard. The podcast, not Maud Byrne. And he's joining us this week because I thought he would offer some good insight because we are going to be talking about the Apple event and their iPad extravaganza. And it does relate somehow to iPhone photography because they did offer insight into it. And he's here on legitimate reasons and not because he helped me get the air conditioning out of my house.
Not at all.
So let's go ahead and just jump right into that news.
News team, assemble!
So there you have it. We had the Apple press event, and like we all predicted, they announced a new iPad, and they announced a new iPad mini. And on top of that, before we get into that, they offered some interesting things that tie into iPhone photography, because they also released OS X Mavericks, which is the new operating system for the Apple computers. And the cool thing about this is that the OS is now free to everybody. And I mean everybody. So it doesn't matter if you're running Snow Leopard or if you're running the latest operating system, it's open to everybody for free. And do you guys have any insight into how you feel about that? I mean, apart from, it, you know, yay, it's free. Have you guys played around with it?
I have, with Mavericks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like probably a strange computer user in that I have a desktop, I have an iMac, but I don't really do much other than edit photos and surf the web.
Yeah.
So most of the features in Mavericks are kind of lost on me, to be honest. You know, there's all kinds of tagging of files and I don't know, I guess like kind of things that you would do if you were like a creative professional or just, you know, in some sort of office environment, you know, where you needed to stay organized. And I don't have that situation. So a lot of these, a lot of the features are kind of lost on me, even though they are pretty cool, I guess.
Yeah. And Joe, you're using a PC, right?
Yeah, I got a Windows 8 machine, and actually 8.1 just came out, and so I'm actually going to upgrade to that.
Yeah. Enjoy.
Is it free?
Enjoy your brick.
It's free.
There you go.
It is free. Now, here's the interesting thing. If you already own the latest version of iPhoto and all there are the good native apps, they are now offering free upgrades to these things. And that includes iPhoto and iMovie. And I bring this up is because now it integrates the better movie functions, the new iPhone 5S, which can do the higher frame rate and the slow motion. You can now bring that into iMovies and play around with it even more.
And that's for both iPhone, iPads, and for the desktops, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, here's what they said in the Apple keynote, that iMovie, GarageBand, iPhoto, and then the iWork stuff, the Numbers, Pages, and Keynote, those are all free with the purchase of a new iPad, a new iOS or OS X computer. So I thought this eliminated me because I have an old computer. I wasn't upgrading my computer. However, I still got the upgrades.
Really?
Yeah, they still gave them out for free. So I thought that was pretty awesome. I don't use iPhoto at all, but I do use iMovie for the movies that we did on that one trip that I still have to publish. And my other stuff. So I thought that was pretty interesting and how it can take advantage of the new specs that the iPhone 5S has.
I'm downloading GarageBand right now for free.
Oh, GarageBand can do some sweet stuff that I have no concept of using because I'm all visual and not audio. So, but if you're into it, it's pretty awesome. So yeah, I just thought I'd give that a mention because that is something that's pretty significant. And did you guys watch the keynote?
I did.
And Joe, you didn't get a chance to watch that yet, huh?
I was at work, and then we had a baby.
Oh, right. Yeah, so you have an excuse. I'll let it pass this time.
Thank you.
But on the next baby, no passes. No passes. So I thought it was really interesting, and this will just be a small tangent before we go on to the other stuff. Did you notice that they had an extreme amount of window bashing?
And that's uncommon?
Well, it just felt very strong in this one. They kept mentioning how, in particular, how when they were talking about the roadmap, Tim Cook basically said, you know, there are some companies out there that are turning their laptops into tablets and their tablets into laptops. And immediately they show a sign that had, you know, those street signs with the you know, it's curves ahead and it shows that curve going around with an arrow. Well, this one was like this tangled mess. And it was just such a weird slap in the face to Microsoft. And then afterwards...
It was a well-deserved slap in the face.
Yes, it was a well-deserved slap in the face. But I just thought it was kind of out of character. And then later on, they just kept making digs at Microsoft. When they brought up the iWorks stuff, where it's the keynote numbers and pages, they basically said, you know, some companies will charge you a small fortune, and it brings up the cost of Microsoft Office suite for $99 a year. And basically like, well, we are changing that. We're offering it to you for free.
Yeah.
And then when they were talking about the cost of upgrading your operating system, they show the Windows operating system cost. And then they basically said, we're offering Mavericks for free. And this is going to be free from now on. Every operating system from here on in. And just so many digs at Microsoft. I just thought, you know, why even bother? Like, why make a dig at them? You're clearly just kicking somebody while they're down.
Well, isn't it the Microsoft phones that are taking digs at Siri and iPhone?
Yeah, but Siri's a retard. And that hasn't changed. So that's, well, you know, it's not like they're lying. But I just think, why Microsoft? You have Amazon and Google breathing down your necks, and you're taking your pot shot at...
Well, that's just the classic enemy for Apple is Microsoft.
I guess. I don't know.
And you always go for the biggest target.
Well, I don't see Microsoft as being the biggest target for Apple.
No. Apple's the biggest target for Microsoft.
Apple's the biggest target
for Microsoft.
For all of them.
So, anyway, I just thought that was interesting to note. Moving on, we have the new iPads. Basically, there's a new iPad that they're now calling the iPad Air, which is... a smaller form factor, but same screen resolution. It's 1 pound, and it basically runs the same chip that the iPhone 5S has. It's powerful in almost every way possible, except for the camera. And Matt, you took a pretty big issue with this, and I did too, because... in their video demonstration, they really focused on people using their iPad as a legitimate camera. And they didn't upgrade their camera whatsoever. So, Matt, why don't you start with that? How do you feel about that?
Well, that was like probably the biggest disappointment for me. You know, I would love to get an iPad mini.
Yeah.
Cause I do kind of think it looks silly taking pictures with a full blown iPad. But for some reason, I don't know, the iPad mini, that seems like just the perfect size. And, it's not so much that I won't really want to use an iPad as a camera, but I'm just thinking about, you know, editing with, you know, the apps that are available on iOS would just be so much more fun on an iPad than it is on the iPhone. But I mean, if I'm going to edit on the iPad, I may as well take the pictures with the iPad. So, you know, I didn't see any reason why They couldn't put the same kind of camera in the iPad as what they have in the iPhone.
Yeah. And this goes, this holds true with the new iPad mini, which is now a Retina display. And it's essentially the same exact power as the iPad Air. It has all the same specs, and it has a higher resolution because it's a smaller screen. So that's pretty significant. It's also more expensive now. Previously, it was $329. The iPad mini with the Retina display is now $399. Now, Maud, this is something that we were talking about a little while ago. You were looking for a tablet device, and you are, in fact, looking to do photography with this thing. So,
yeah, that's the big trade-off for me. I kept looking primarily between an iPod Touch and the iPad Mini. The big trade-off being the iPod Touch has a better camera, and I would, if I had that, I would actually carry it around with me and take pictures with it. iPad Mini, I would take pictures with it once in a while, but I think kind of like Joe alluded, Matt alluded to, I think I'd feel a little silly holding something that size up taking pictures. Not as bad as like the full iPad, but even the mini would be a little bit, just be a little weird to take pictures with something. It's not quite the right form factor. I would take pictures with it, but I don't know. I'd get that more if I was going to do it for the multimedia purposes of a slightly bigger screen and watching TV and stuff. So I think I actually ended up deciding to go iPod Touch. That's what I would go with.
Which hasn't been updated as of right now.
I know. I'm waiting.
I know. That was a disappointment. now, here's the interesting thing. The iPad mini has a bump in price, but they're going to continue selling the previous version of the iPad, the first-gen iPad mini. And that one went from $329 to $299. Mm. Do you think that's a substantial enough price difference that people will swoon towards that more than the Retina display one?
No, I don't.
No?
I mean, that's hardly a discount in my opinion.
Yeah.
And I would happily pay the, if I was serious about getting an iPad mini, which I still might be, I would gladly pay the extra $100 to have the Retina display, but even more so the computing power. You know, you got the new A7 chip and 64-bit architecture. You know, that's going to be some serious power on that iPad. So
that's serious sick editing right there.
Yeah. And also the non-Retina only comes in the 16 gig.
Yeah. You were going to say, Mud?
A question for you guys who are all these, you know, into this a lot more than I am. Is there any way, is there any type of device or built-in technology that allows you to take pictures with your iPhone and then just wirelessly Bluetooth or whatever, if you're close enough to your iPad or your iPad mini, just synchronize the pictures from your phone over to your mini?
Yeah, you would have the Apple way is the...
The iCloud?
The iCloud.
AirDrop.
There's AirDrop.
How fast is that? Is that like, I mean, you've got to upload it. Like, no, obviously, you don't, it's all hidden behind the scenes, but is it like a, okay, process whole and upload and then download, or...
I don't know. Just... We'll tell you when we use AirDrop. I actually haven't used AirDrop yet.
It just occurs to me that, Matt, we were alluding to the fact, again, that they didn't upgrade the cameras in the iPads. But I would imagine if you had an iPad and you're out and about with it and you want to use it for editing, you're probably going to have your iPhone on you at the same time anyways. So if it is a fairly quick, simple, easy transfer process, why not just bring the iPad for editing, take your pictures with your iPhone, sync them over, and then edit them on the iPad? Is it? I haven't done it, so I don't know. Is it like a horrible process to do? But I would imagine they should be able to make that fairly seamless and fast for you, so you can just do it pretty quick.
Mod, like 5 minutes ago, I had this same exact thought, and I was just like, oh yeah, I could just do that.
I was going to say it 5 minutes ago when you were first mentioning that, but didn't get around to it.
Yeah, I don't know why I didn't think of that right off the bat, but yes, definitely. I could still, you know, shoot with my iPhone that has the, you know, the 8-megapixel camera. And I think it takes great looking photos. And then, you know, edit them on the iPad, which I just think would be a lot more fun to
do. And that's not really, yes, you have two devices, but you're going to have your phone with you no matter what anyways. So if you're bringing the iPad out to do something, it's not like you weren't going to bring your phone as well. So if you happen to have both of them, it's not so much like you're bringing an extra device. It's really just you're using one for taking the pictures and one for editing them.
Yeah.
Now, I was looking at the iPad Air, and it says it's a 3.1 megapixel camera. And
is that the front camera or the...
Oh, that's a good question. Hold on.
I'm pretty sure that's the front.
3.1.
Well, it only showed one... Oh, let's see.
The EyeSight camera is now the regular camera.
Features.
Bonus feature of the iPad Air can be used as a Frisbee.
Yeah.
A chip, A7 chip, faster Wi-Fi. It looks like that was the only spec that they gave. There's got to be more. Well, because it didn't say front or back.
No, it's a there's two cameras on the iPad Air. There's the front facing camera,
the FaceTime camera, and the Air
EyeSight camera.
Thank you.
The FaceTime camera is 1.2 megapixel, and the EyeSight camera is 5 megapixel.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. I see it now. You know, if I were to get the Mini, which I'm tempted to do, I wouldn't mind using the Mini for video. Having the bigger screen for video would just, I don't know, it would feel right for me. I would be able to hold it more steady. I mean, that's just me.
And you can shield yourself against softballs.
Oh, yeah. Mental note. Get a better case. Life proof.
Yes.
Not a sponsor. But, all right. So, basically, the new lineup for the iPad stuff is iPad Mini at the first-gen iPad Mini at $299. $399 is the iPad Mini Retina display. Also at $399 is the illustrious iPad 2. And then you have the iPad Air at $499 at the basic set specs. How do you guys feel that the iPad 2 is still out in the market?
Why not?
Yeah, it's old.
You know, not to throw... you guys probably want to yell at me for this, but you can buy a Windows 7... the Windows Surface Pro, which is got a full-fledged, you know, Windows operating system on it for what I think it's like $400.
Is it that low now?
Yeah.
Really?
That doesn't include the keyboard. That's almost like $100-$150 extra.
But. Yeah. That's interesting.
They gotta be able to push them out the door.
You know, I saw.
Well, they're using them as doorstops at the moment.
No. Yeah, they're gonna start putting them in cereal boxes as like the prize.
No one buys the cereal. You know, I have to say this. Doing cartooning, which is something that I haven't made public much yet, the Windows Pro tablet is actually pretty good at that. I've played around with the stuff at the Windows Store, which was remarkably easy. There was no one there. And man, is everybody eager there to help you. You know, you startle somebody. Who are you?
It's like the Cars movie where customer's coming. Everybody, yes, line up.
That's exactly what it was.
Act normal. Don't scare them away.
Windows, how the mighty have fallen. But anyway, it's supposed to be pretty decent.
You know, having the, again, just real quick here, with the Windows having fallen, they now have become, in some senses, the underdog. And I never used to root for Windows because they were the top dog, and you always have this, like, kind of, you want to root for the underdog. Now Windows is the underdog. So I actually I'm finding myself slowly kind of going back toward rooting for Windows again because they're the underdog now.
That's an interesting way of putting it.
It is. It's literally why I brought up the Surface Pro, because I can sense myself slowly being pulled back to the dark side.
I'll be curious to see what they do with Life After Steve Ballmer, because that guy annoyed the piss out of me. Oh, that's the other thing they did at the Apple press conference is talk about everybody who doubted the iPad. And I think one of the quotes was Steve Ballmer's, who a lot of them were saying, you know, I don't see what the use of this thing is. And it's just they never attributed any They didn't attribute the quotes to anybody. They just showed the quotes up there. But
they could have attributed that to me, because I know I said that when the iPad first came out.
I knew one of those quotes sounded familiar. But they just saw your blog post. So, yeah. Anyway, that's the lineup in a nutshell. Interesting stuff. I'd love to get my hands on one of those and try them out. Lord knows when they're going to come out, because they were pretty vague on the dates. I think pre-orders start in November for the Air. I'm going to ask a question one more time about the iPads, and then we can move on. But since they announced the iPad Air, do you think that at some point they're going to announce an iPad Pro?
So what would that entail, you think? Because it already pretty much has
everything you need.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much got like the best of the best right now. So what more could they possibly do to it?
And we've asked the same question about iPhones. Are they going to have a Pro model or not?
Yeah, but you guys laughed me off the set for that one.
I don't think they should. I think the fact that they've got basically one lineup, and it's just, you know what the best one is because it's the newest one. It helps keep things simple for them. You know, if you start going, well, there's the Air, there's the Pro, there's the this, you start feeling more like Windows. Windows always had, I mean, with their last operating system, actually not so much with 8, but with their previous one, they had like 7 different versions, and nobody knew what the friggin' difference was between any of them. So keeping it simple is, I think, it helps them out in the marketplace. There's only one. The latest one, that's what you want.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's just something that was a curiosity, because they showed all the professional things that you can do with the iPad, and it wasn't like their normal cliche stuff where it's just, you know, somebody teaching with it, somebody, you know, jogging with it or anything like that. They did show the hiker talking to his girlfriend, who was inexplicably left at home, and he just showed off where he was. I'm curious where he got that signal to do video, but there he was saying, "Hi, look at where I am, and you're not here." But they were showing like actual like surgeries being performed with you know, an iPad in a plastic bag, you know, sealed away and doing something. I don't know how to on how to do surgery, but like firefighters were using it for GPS directions, I guess. And then they had what's it called? Those not the rally cars, but the guy in the dune buggy who was using it as GPS. And then I mean they had some really cool stuff, like the
off-roading.
Yeah, the off-roading stuff. They had some pretty cool people using the iPad. So it just, I don't know, it just got me wondering, because one of the things I would absolutely love to do is actually have a proper stylus for this thing so I can actually draw on it. I have the bamboo stylus, which is all right, but I would love to have like the pressure-sensitive pinpoint accuracy of a Wacom tablet on this thing. I know that's kind of going far from iPhone photography, but I just think that would be really awesome. So
yeah, I think there's a lot of things that we'd like to have. You know, I would love to be able to put an SD card in my iPhone.
Yeah.
That'll never happen.
Yeah. No,
it won't.
So anyway, that's all for news. It was apart from that, it was a pretty light news week. But it, I, you know, all that stuff was interesting. It's really cool to talk about and see where Apple goes from here on in, because yeah, I got nothing. Anyway, let's go to post pick of the week. All right, Mod, it's your turn.
Oh, is it Mod's turn?
No, I never even told him what Post Pick of the Week was.
I was just sitting here wondering, what is Post
Pick of the Week? Joe, it's, I think it's your turn.
It is. Before I say Post Pick of the Week, I wanted to say that version 7.0.3 just came out for iOS 7. So I downloaded it and installed it on my work phone. I've yet to do it on my personal one.
And that adds keychain functionality to the iPhone.
Yeah, it asked me for that information. I said no.
Oh, you were serious? What's keychain
functionality? It just saves
like
passwords.
A wallet.
Oh,
yeah, passwords, stuff like that. So, but that came out. All right, so.
That was a great way to buy some time while you searched the feed.
Actually, I have it right here already.
Go for it.
All right. I think last time I said fall festive. Well, I didn't have any much in the way for fall festive. At least I wasn't going to stop in front of people's houses and start taking pictures of their stuff. But I looked through the Tiny Shutter hashtag, and I found some fall stuff. And I was like, hey, I like that. And this one is called Golden Autumn, and it's actually from the Moscow region in Russia.
Ooh.
And Nepali underscore I'm probably gonna butcher this, but Bathlete, and I think her name is Natasha.
Of course.
And
Natasha Romanoff.
She took a series of images that had to do with...
Nobody got that joke.
Is that James Bond?
No, that's an Avengers joke.
Oh, okay. She did a series of images that had to do with Golden Autumn, and I like the one there. It looks like there's a pond in the... in between some dried bushes, and then there's trees with this golden yellow in the background, and nice blue sky. So it's called Golden Autumn, and she did a great job.
Nice. Hey, Matt, how's the foliage in your neck of the woods still?
Oh, it's pretty much all down.
Is it?
Almost. Ooh. Yeah. There's a little bit, but, you know, around this time, when it's past peak, the leaves that are still hanging on kind of get weird. They're like not really so much colorful as they are just kind of brown. But when the sun's out, you can kind of pretend that they're reddish.
squint your eyes a little bit.
Nice.
Yeah. So there's still some patches, I guess, that are okay. But for the most part, we're pretty much done up here.
We're kind of half and half in peak mode and fading mode right now.
Nah, I think we're gone into fading, full fading.
But we still have some color.
Did you guys get out and get some foliage shots?
I did.
I got a few, but you know, I have a baby also, so I've been sort of limited.
Oh, listen to Ansel Adams over here being modest. Yeah, I only got a few, but, you know, he's posting, like, these gorgeous works in Vermont and stuff. It's like, you know, I'm, like, having these dreams about visiting the Shire where you live. And as I'm stuck in this shithole called Haverhill, Massachusetts. And, you know, yeah, he's being modest. Go check out his Instagram feed. It is, like, absolutely ridiculously awesome.
That's right.
If you say so, thank you.
I do say so.
The leaves haven't changed very much. They've just I think we're just starting to get into the fall colors.
Wait, do you guys even have fall down there?
Yeah. If you go to the North Carolina, South Carolina border, you know, that's the end of the Appalachian Trail. You have a lot of the mountainous areas, and a lot of people flock to those areas to get the fall colors. But it just, like tonight, it's going to get down to 30 degrees. So we're starting to get into that cool season. And I think the trees are starting to sense it.
I am such a retard. Here I'm thinking that you're in Georgia. You're in North Carolina.
South Carolina, yeah, right on the border.
Well, that's a pretty big border in between. you got a lot of landmass. I don't know why I keep making that mistake. It is not cool of me. I just posted something in Instagram. I forgot to tag it with the Tiny Shutter hashtag. But hang on, is it showing up now? This is the closest I got to fall foliage. Oh, crap, it's not showing up.
You know, I noticed that. If you tag your photos, you can't see it in the... So let me pull it up and see if I can see you in there.
It would be Sadowski Photography.
Okay. Well, it'd be the first one, right?
It should be, but it's not.
Tiny Shutter...
I went out last weekend and taking a few pictures, and
it probably put it back in some other order.
For me, it was like, oh wow.
When did you take it?
I took it last week, actually.
Is it, you say,
about 7 days ago? It would be less than 7 days because it was during a wedding.
Because,
shoot. Wow, it's not even showing up in the feed.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with Instagram.
You've been snubbed.
Because, I have been snubbed. You know, like I tagged that lizard shot that I did just not too long ago, but I don't even see it in here.
You know what? Hang on. I'm looking through here. Yeah. That is so weird. Hang on. I'm going to try it one more time. Tiny Shutter. All right, refresh the feed.
All right. It still looks the same. All right, I'm going to go to Sadowski.
Yeah, go to Sadowski Photography. Basically, what I did, the closest thing I got to fall foliage was a wedding that I did on Neshoba Valley Vineyard. And you can see the fall foliage in the background of the bride and groom.
Is it where... He's carrying her or the other one? Thank you.
He's not carrying her. They're walking side by side. And
oh, is this with red flowers?
Yeah, she has the red flowers. They're throwing rose petals at her.
Okay.
And in the background, you can see the classic New England church, and it's fall foliage in the background.
That was 2 days ago that you posted that.
Oh, it was 2 days ago. I thought it was longer than that. Well, still, it should be showing up closer in the feed.
All right, I'm going back through. I'm looking.
You know what? I added the Tiny Shutter hashtag, not in the original post, but something that I added afterwards. So I'm wondering if they've disabled that.
Oh. You know what? That's something to try. Okay.
Yeah. Come on, Instagram, look into that.
No, they did that on purpose.
That's dumb.
Yep.
Have you guys noticed since upgrading to iOS 7, like any weird issues with like geotagging or GPS?
I disable mine.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't done anything. What have you noticed?
All right. So like, for instance, in if I go into photos to look at, you know, just like my pictures or whatever. I took a picture down in Manchester, New Hampshire this past Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know how the pictures are grouped into little collections, and for the most part, they're grouped by location.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, it thinks that I was in France.
Wow.
It's only off by a little bit.
Yeah, so the location is Midi Pyrenees, France. So, you know, that's the mountains in France.
You know what? Your photos are so ridiculously awesome, actually. I wouldn't doubt that it transported you to France.
So if you click on that, and then it brings you to a, you know, to a map, and the pictures are on the map, and they're relatively close to the border of France and Spain.
Interesting.
But that is definitely not where I was.
You shouldn't be telling people that's not where she was. Gonna see what I did over the weekend? Baby and all. Look where I was to get. Yeah. This is how dedicated I am to getting photos.
Here's the thing, though. People would be like, dude, for real? Like, that's the only picture you got in
France? You would only over there only took one shot? Come on.
I wonder if it's iOS issue or if it was something to do with the satellites that track it. There was one time I was driving home and I was with my friend Siska, and we were at a stoplight.
I have to stop you real quick here. You said friend Siska, and I totally heard Francisca. I was like, who's Francisca?
That's what I heard too.
Okay.
I knew what you were saying, Mark.
I don't think anybody else in the audience will know. So my friend, Siska, Mike Siska, he was from the other show as well. I'm at a stoplight. I have my Garmin GPS on, and it wasn't doing anything. It was just following us. It wasn't like tracking anything. But then all of a sudden, the screen went from, you know, populated roads and everything, and it just shifted to the right ridiculously fast, and it was just nothing but blue. And I'm looking at this. I'm like, did this thing glitch out? And I'm, you know, watching it. And according to the GPS, I was moving east at 500 miles an hour.
What?
And I'm like, that counts. That counts. Look at that. Look at that. I'm the fastest guy in the world. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
Well, so. I just posted a picture to Instagram, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And I took the picture at Dartmouth College today.
Oh, that was a sick one.
In Dartmouth, thank you, I guess. Thank you.
That was a good. It was an HDR, right?
Yeah. So Dartmouth is very much in New Hampshire. And I was going to add the location, and I was going to, you know, type in either Dartmouth or get real specific as to like which school within Dartmouth that the building is. And it auto filled a location for me, Vancouver, British Columbia.
Nice. Get around.
Man, you're going everywhere. That's so funny.
Well, I tested out the Tiny Shutter hashtag.
Uh-oh, I think we lost Joe.
Oh, no, I was like, oh, my goodness, don't tell me I jinxed my...
I'm here. He's can you hear thinking. Me?
Okay. I can hear you now.
Oh, okay. So I tested out the hashtag Tiny Shutter with a post of my kids, and I put it in the original post, and it showed up. So that might be the... That might be what's going on with Instagram.
Interesting.
So no posting Tiny Shutter after the fact. It's not going to show up.
Boo. Well, that's good to know. And
what do you mean after the fact?
So yeah, after you post the image, you can't add Tiny Shutter and then see your image in the Tiny Shutter hashtag.
Sure you can. I do that all the time. I just did it.
I just did it too.
Yeah.
And mine didn't show up.
Well, I never put my so you know how you load your image and then you put a caption?
Yeah.
I never put hashtags in that caption because
no, he's right.
I cross
post. That's the first thing you see.
usually cross post to sometimes Facebook and most of the time Twitter, and I don't want all those hashtags in that caption. So I post the picture, then I add all the hashtags in the next comment.
All right, let's go back to Sadowski.
Sadowski, when you added yours to the Tiny Shutter, were you doing it from the same account? Because if you're in another
account, oh my god, I am so stupid.
If you hashtag from a different account,
yeah, Maud is right. Maud just showed the world that I am in fact Polish and living up to its illustrious reputation. Yep. There it is. There it is.
I was going to say it earlier, but I was giving you a chance to discover it.
No. I deserve this.
Sweet Clyde, laugh derisively at him.
So now I'm going to look at my lizard image and tiny shutter. How do you spell shutter?
Not with an I.
Okay, sweet, I'm slightly Clyde, dyslexic.
Laugh derisively at him.
So tiny shutter, and I think I tagged it yesterday, but as I go through, I don't see it. And I'm not using two accounts either. I mean, I post the tiny shutter tiny shutter podcast account, but then I go right back to my own.
Unfortunately, Joe, the laws of Instagram don't hold in South Carolina.
Jiminy crickets.
Are you putting a silent K in there again?
Yeah. No, because it pulled up right to the right to it. So yeah, I'm not seeing it in the account.
Weird. All right. To be continued. We'll discover this one later. How about we do some focus points?
Sounds good.
Focus point.
Matt, do you want to go?
I don't. I'm not ready.
Okay, neither am I.
I'll go.
Although I will say this. This is something that you mentioned earlier, Matt. The HDR app that I mentioned last week.
Yeah, Photor HDR.
Yeah, I'm not liking it as much anymore.
No, I'm. I don't know. I had high hopes for it. I guess the literature about it sounded really awesome.
The first couple shots I took were actually decent. But then when I went into actual nature, I did not like the HDR that was coming out of it. And the detail was kind of meh. And,
well, here, I'm going to say something good about it. The alignment of the images is freaking phenomenal. Like if you're hand holding,
yeah. The removal of ghosting is really good. But that's it. I'm sticking with Pro HDR.
Yeah, I took several pictures today, and I alternated between Photor HDR and True HDR, and I think I deleted all of the Photor HDR pictures.
Yeah, nice.
Well, you pretty much have to use one of those presets.
Yeah.
And while they are adjustable, they just leave a lot to be desired. The natural preset, which is the one that I would probably use the most, is like too natural to the almost to the effect where you can't tell it's HDR at all.
Yeah.
It just looks like a regular picture. And that's not really what I'm going for when I shoot HDR. I want it to look, you know, a little bit different.
Right.
And all the other presets are just sort of over the top, just tons of contrast, tons of saturation. Or they're desaturated, which also isn't what I want when right. I shoot HDR, unless I'm going to purposely convert it to black and white, in which case I'll do that in a different app.
Yeah, I mean, if I wanted that stuff, I'd just use Hipstamatic. So, see, look at that. You had a focus point.
Well, I could offer something else today as well.
Okay. All right, go for it, Joe.
All right, so with the new update to iMovie, I decided to play around with it some more, and I was hoping and praying that I could match audio and video off camera audio into iTunes. I don't think that's still possible, but last Monday, I took my son over to my work. I have Mondays off, and he loves trucks and tractors. So I took a bunch of pictures of him walking around going, "Oh, look, Daddy, a tractor. Yes, I see that, son. It's a tractor." And, "Oh, look, Daddy, it's a truck. Yep, I see the truck, son." So I did some video. I did some pictures. And then I went into iMovie and put something together, a little one-minute video. And it goes through a series of – you can put still images in it. And then you can also put audio and more still images, and it has music and all that. So since iMovie is now free, I encourage you to download it and give it a try, because you can probably come up with some pretty neat stuff. I did a quick 15 seconds on my Instagram account of that video, so you can see it if you go to my Instagram account. I think, you know, just getting yourself out of taking still images, you can still do still images and incorporate video with it, I think is good for, you know, getting out of the giving you some time to make different choices and learn different things and get out of the box.
Yeah, that's a good point. And right after you, Matt, I'll just add a quick update, because that just reminded me of something. So good choice. Go for it, Matt.
All right. So I've been playing around with a bunch of different apps lately, and I have one today that's not necessarily very useful. It's more of a novelty, but I thought it was kind of cool. It's definitely neat technology that hopefully will get expanded on. This is an app by Obvious Engineering, and the app is called Scene. Mm-hmm. It's spelled S-E-E-N-E. And basically, this is an app that if you have a iPhone 4S or newer, will allow Woo-hoo. You to basically shoot 3D images.
Really?
But not 3D in the sense that you need to put on like some 3D glasses to look at them. Mm-hmm. They're 3D in the sense that when you look at the picture on your phone and you move your phone around, the object in the picture kind of shifts.
Really? Oh, okay. I know what you're talking about.
There's a word for that.
So what you do, with this app is, it really works best if you have kind of a singular object that you want to take a picture of. Like, I don't know, a beer bottle or just some kind of singular thing. Right. And, you take your picture and what it does, it kind of guides you what to do. A little, circle that's divided into like four pie pieces kind of pops up on the screen, and it tells you like, okay, move your phone to the right. So you kind of move a little bit to the right, and then, part of the pie will turn green, and then it says, okay, move your phone down, and you do that, and the next chunk of the pie will turn green until you've kind of made this subtle but full circle in front of the object. And then it somehow stitches everything together, and then you have your picture on your screen, and all you have to do is just kind of move your phone just in your hand, just kind of side to side or forward and back, and the whole image will shift. And it's a pretty significant shift. I mean, you could look at, you know, from side to side of the object, and if you have your phone in your hand and you're kind of looking straight on at the object, if you kind of tilt your phone forward, the object will rotate to where you're looking almost straight down on top of it. It's pretty wild.
That's neat.
I just downloaded it and I'm playing with it.
Yeah, it's definitely fun to play with. I think it's pretty limited, and it's it's not practical in any sense of the word, I don't think, yet. And the applications are pretty limited. I don't think it would work for like landscape photography or anything like that, but it's pretty fun to play around with. And then also you can kind of scroll through in the app and look at other scenes, as they call them, that people have shot and uploaded. And they're pretty cool to look at. There's a lot of different stuff, and it's just kind of different technology. It's pretty neat.
I think it would be better if they did the movement for you rather than having to move the phone itself. Excuse me.
If they moved it for you?
Yeah.
That would take away, I mean, the whole point is like you're in control. Like, what do you want to see?
Well, no, hang on. Right, God, so many tutorials here. Just let me take a photo. All right, so... Keep it stable. All right. Let me try this. All right. Here we go.
He's testing. he's failing.
I'm failing miserably at this.
It looks cool. And it's free.
Yeah. See, I think one of the big drawbacks to it is that can you look at that picture outside of the application? Outside of the app?
Presumably don't have to think so. You can embed the picture like into Tumblr.
Oh yeah,
really?
You can share it on Twitter and Facebook, but I think it's just on Twitter and Facebook. It's just going to be a link that takes you
to the app.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
All right. Here's what I'm talking about. Like, I'm looking at the picture that I just took. And if I hold the phone still, the photo remains still. It isn't until I start moving the phone that the 3D-ness pops out, because then the image starts moving. But I'm distracted by the phone moving, so I can't appreciate the 3D-ness.
You should be able to use your finger to move the...
Oh, you can.
Yeah, you can. You can use your finger. There you go.
Oh, there we go. Well, there's a famous one that... displays this. It's like a Jurassic Park one where it's automatically, it's like a animated GIF that moves on its own, and the 3D-ness is more evident that way. I'm taking off a half a star point.
Not to be a downer or anything, but while this does look very cool and very neat, for some reason, to me, as I see it, the word that just keeps running over and over in the back of my head is Lytro.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's that other app, too, that was an Lytro-esque.
Yeah, but this doesn't shift focus.
Yeah, it's different. But it's...
Lytro did have a slight perspective shift. This is totally different.
This is more about looking around the object, but it's just... similar. The reason that Lytro was running in the back of my head as I'm looking at that is it's a similar thing of, that's really neat, but it's neat for about 5 seconds, and you do a couple pictures, you look at it, and yay, that's fun, and then that's it, you're done.
Yeah.
It freaked your friends out.
But that's a cool one.
I think it's pretty cool, and I did mention, you know, 4S and newer. That's if you actually want to create, you know, 3D images. If you have an iPhone 4, you could still look at the images.
Gotcha.
What can you do with an iPod 2?
Yours doesn't even have a camera.
iPod 2, you could throw it in the trash.
The best paperweight you'll ever own. Cool. And the one thing I'm going to add is that Vine just recently had an update where you can now save videos for editing later. You can you could do more editing and post with your Vines. You don't have to just do everything right then and there and mess up constantly. You can actually do something pretty creative now. Well, I mean, you could do creative stuff before. I'm talking myself into a hole again, ain't I? But you could do more editing. There's more options. You don't have to rip your hair out while you're doing something creative. How about that? So everybody give that a go and check it out. So I think that is all for this week. Matt, tell the world where they can find you on the web.
I can be found on Instagram and Twitter at mhoffmanphoto.
And Joe, where can they find you to give you congratulatory emails and messages?
You can find me at you can find me on Instagram at Joseph Ferrer. And I've actually gotten a lot of congratulations on Instagram, and I appreciate all the ones that I've gotten and the ones I'm about to receive.
Very cool. Maud, where can they find you on the web?
You know, I think at a certain point it becomes harassment that you keep doing.
Oh, the other show will never die. And you can find me, Mark Sadowski. I am on Instagram. I'm the username Lenswipe. And if you want to contact the Tiny Shutter, you could do so by going to tinyshutter.com and leaving a message in the comments section, or send us an email. You can leave us a message on Facebook or our Google Plus account. Just do a search for Tiny Shutter, and we are on Instagram. We are on Instagram, but we're on, what's that other one? Twitter, at Tiny Shutter. So,
we have a Twitter account?
We do have a Twitter account, and I do check that. And actually, I got to say this. Anybody who sent an email message to Tiny Shutter, the email address is actually ms@tinyshutter.com. It goes directly to me. I actually had some issues with my email lately, so I wasn't getting anything into the inbox that I noticed, because a certain dumb Polish guy lost his password. I'll just end it there. But if you sent us a message, I got overwhelmed with spam, so I didn't do many filtering options in the past few weeks. So the best way to get back in touch with us via email, if you sent one before, is just send one again. My sincerest apologies. So there you go. And that is all for this week. Next week, we'll tune back in with more iPhone photography and less about silly keynotes. And we'll go back right into business and get ready for the holidays, because that's going to be a big one. Lots of Christmas, turkeys, and all sorts of other fun stuff.
Halloween's coming up.
Halloween. Yeah. That's by the time I post this. I mean, let's face it. Oh. It'll be long gone. Actually, Halloween. When is Halloween for you, Joe? Because we're celebrating it as of this recording, we're celebrating Halloween on Saturday. It's Friday night as we record this. So when do you guys celebrate Halloween? Like actual trick-or-treating?
You know, growing up in California, it was always on the 31st.
Uh-huh.
And when I moved here to the South, is like, if it happened to be on a Sunday, they go, oh, should it be on should we do it on a Sunday, or should we do it on Saturday? Or if it was on Monday, should we do it on Saturday or on Monday? And it was like, wait, you get to choose? So I think it's going to be Wednesday or Thursday. Thursday. I think that's the 31st.
That is the 31st. How about you, Matt?
Well, I live in the woods.
It's Halloween every day for you guys.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of trick-or-treating that happens where I live. You would get to, like, two houses in the allotted time.
How about you, Maud?
I have no idea. I think we usually do it in Amesbury on the actual 31st, whatever that happens to be.
Okay, since my daughter's not feeling good and she's not going to be able to go tomorrow, I'm probably going to tag along with you, if you don't mind.
Yeah, sounds good.
Cool. Very cool. All right, so that's it. So there we go. We've already organized our trick-or-treating. I got this bag full of candy here that we can pick out on. I mean, I should save it for the trick-or-treaters, but screw them.
You're not going to be home.
Yeah. So anyway, that's all for this week. Enjoy your holiday, and see you next week.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.